Enainte zic mesaje mai negizie. Mesaj. Mesana or mesana. Să nu mă lămă de. Ua pe gine mesina. Is mesana ie. De inoție. Is NYDA ie. National Youth Development Agency. Okay. Is the Governance of Africa's Resources Program here? Okay. Is Joy Global Africa here? Okay. All right. We will share the remaining time among all of you. We will listen to yourself as Abu Mama. You will present, then we will take questions after the presenting and okay. And so that we can then deal with the matters pertaining to your situation. Over to you.
Molweni diabolisa nguro na mahashulo lutatali. Disuka basawima. Kolegi zinto bata zibalwa kwa kolo asinazo thina facilities zokwenza izinto zinto but ke ndizazimentiona ke kolo ngaloo nto i-background kaSawima Western Cape in 1999 the former mining and energy minister Phumzile Mlambo Ngcuka established Sawima nationally we affiliated in 2004 registration fee at 2000 per annum Sawima Western Cape had NOMTA Sipoya and Buswa Jack as the office bearers. Due to incompetence, they were asked to step down. Nomfundo Mpuntje became an interim chairperson. She advised the affiliate to come together and form a consortium, which was named Awa St. John Amakosgas. A consultant named Olaf was introduced to absentia to the consortium by Nomfundo, the interim chairperson. It deals, there's so many deals were promised, but nothing happened. Somerset Hospital, Yaiza Nama Dubai, the special guy Russell as the imperial premier. MTN shares, that is the nominee la Galago, Sonjik, 2008. Stadium, whereby amakhosikazi azofumana isabelo kwi-stadium ukusiklina uqala ukwakha apha nakusiklini training by SABC yayingunomfundo owasibizayo loo nto yaphela isithubeni till today khumba deals nothing happened 30 women from abroad to come for networking and empower Sawima athletes yayizebhayi nomfundo Angola American training in polishing and cutting of diamond. American. Donation to Sawima National by Lafarge at the National AGM in Pretoria, 2008. Former minister.
Sorry, Mumam, let me check. Do honorable members have this document? Yes, that is really wrong. Okay. How many pages are there?
Three
pages.
Yes.
The one I have also is three pages. Please continue.
Sorry for that. Okay, Anglo-American training in polishing and cutting the diamond. Donation to Sawima National by Lafarge at the National AGM in Pretoria 2008. Former Minister Ms. Sonjik organized office from DBS for Sawima. We did a little show which is Fumene office for DBS, for DBS, for Ezvala, up at the Western Cape. Necklace sent at Hope Field. The concerns. Tandi Westokwe and Dineo Lidwaba were elected to work with Olaf, the consultant, whom we were never met. Mfundo Mpunje gave a report back about the sand mine offered to 18 companies, Lawa Sentshona, Amakhosikazi. That Olaf say the mine, that the mine was not available. When the consortium insisted that they visit the mine, Mrs. Toke took them to some private property, not the real mine. They were scolded, and some members were assaulted by the owner. A case was opened at Tableview Police Station. Women in mining are used by BEE Group to get mining rights, and they vanish with money from the mine companies. Beneficiaries from the mines in the Western Cape are the people at top who use their relative and Sawima affiliation names to get mining rights. Also, Sawima Western Cape office bearers benefit from Western Cape mines as the 18 companies members. Uranium deal, Ngwediwe, her surname is Mrs. Mayekiso, and Nomfundo Mpunje. The list of Sawima members in the Western Cape for uranium deal was given to Ngwediwe Mayekiso to take it to DM in Pretoria for mining rights. Nothing has been heard after that. Sorry, isn't it always so strange? It's a long one. The picketing at the CTICC mining in Daba was ignited by the affiliation unhappy about the mining in Daba. The following were issues raised. Another concern is the issue of Sawima being closed. The mines that are supposed to be run by Sawima affiliates are run by people in the government office. The mining grant that was never received by Sawima Western Cape. BEE deals that benefit other people, not Sawima affiliate in the Western Cape. Kumba deal promised by Nobundo, which never happened. Sawima Western Cape took initiative to request the national office to host an AGM in the Western Cape to enable us to have a proper structure and include women from township, informal settlements, and urban areas. We secured an amount of, it was 220,000, they make a mistake, 200,000. 220,000 from Petro SA, and it was deposited in the Sawima National Office Bank account. We are waiting for formal report from them till now. Other mine and offer not shown to the affiliates in the Western Cape. Sand glass mine, Calvert Kral, the layer 18 company, it's a Calvert Kral, but a sky here mine ago. Hopefield, Mama's Bear. DBS training in polishing and cutting of diamond. Sending men from abroad to network and power the affiliate. Government turned down our request for resources to tow Western Cape Municipality to recruit members for Sawima. We are sinking in the poverty, 16 years of democracy. We have not yet tasted the sweet freedom. It is 2011 and we are still tools pumping riches for other people. We are very sad. Western Cape, Sawima Western Cape has proof of their concerns, especially the use of the woman Sawima affiliates named for the benefit of the mining officials and their relatives. Suggestions. The national office should be in touch with its branches regularly in a manner that the affiliates have a big and clear picture about Sawima and the mining industry. Also, they should assist in sorting out concerns and problems. Sawima Western Cape should run workshops to empower the athletes, encouraging them to seek more information, knowledge, and do independent research. The latter assists in them understanding their involvement in the mining sector. Internet comes handy as a vital tool for seeking knowledge. Also, reading business material, e.g. books, magazines, newspapers, to stay informed on current affairs. Leadership of the branch must be informed and honest people. There are unresolved concerns and problems. 6 years is very long time for an organization to have no sign of stability, e.g. no improvement in their empowerment and investment, bearing in mind that they scraped together some refreshing fee to invest in a venture that gives them stress and uncertainty. It is very sad that women who last in the food chain had and vain themselves for empowerment only to end up frustrated because there is no progress and no answers to their questions. It is either the leaders of the organization are not equipped with relevant knowledge to lead, or they are corrupt, or both. See page and two on developments and activities since SAWIMA Western Cape was established. The truth about how the world economy is running should be part of the empowerment, because minerals are on the world market depending on the level of education the athletes have. Of course, needs assessment seem not to have happened. Maybe that is where to start resolving the concerns of problems SAWIMA Western Cape faces. Also, they need to be taken deeper into what lies underground the industry, namely the ownership and how it works where they are on the food chain as business people that is fair dealing. We need to be addressed by both the National Office of SAWIMA and the government. There must be clarity and a way forward with time, lines, and desirable results. We want to know what happened to the deals in the 6 years of operation. Feedback from the chairperson of SAWIMA in the Western Cape to Mrs. Stokwe. Luckily now she's still the chairperson, as it was AGM recently. Okay. SAWIMA Western Cape at Cape Sun on the 28th of May this year. The chairperson gave us feedback on the SAWIMA NEC meeting, stated the following: the SAWIMA body must be closed down as per Minister Shabangu, according to Mrs. Malangen, the CEO. The CEO, Mrs. Malangen, called for an AGM in the Western Cape as soon as possible, but the members refused because they felt there were a lot of unresolved issues. Mr. Kwinana, SAWIMA attorney, claimed his monies for service redundant of 360,000. Alice Patudi, the former CEO for SAWIMA, claimed an amount of 180,000, 3 months' salary, of which way did locate a as of SAWIMA offices were moved by Mrs. Malangen to Sandton Sandton at a rental of 20,000 per month. The office of Mrs. Malangen, the chamber of SAWIMA. The monies were deposited to it, they were given to SAWIMA by government and other companies, private companies, for SAWIMA to develop. Mrs. Malangen take that money, put it into SAWIMI account. SAWIMA members who were picketed outside the mining in Daba were promised 20,000 if they stop the picketing by Mrs. Malangen. Never happened. Mrs. Malangen claimed large sum of money for consultation fees for her children. The National Office has finally called us to meet after 6 years. It is odd that they called a meeting when they heard that SAWIMA Western Cape is meeting the parliamentarians. We wish that the Mining Portfolio Committee to dig up information about the mines in the Western Cape and also uranium mines in the in Beaufort West. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As agreed, let's allow women in Northern Cape to address us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members of Parliament and the House at large. Chairperson, ours, I think, is a well-known thing, but I would first like to go back to the review of the Mining Charter. I think, Chairperson, our challenges will really show the grey area that the champion of the empowerment that they really failed us as women in mining in the Northern Cape. And I think it's not a new thing that I'm going to say, but I don't want to sound as if I'm always complaining, but Chairperson, I think it's about high time that there should be implementation in our challenges that we've been having for such a long time. I think it's more than 5 years now. I'll just go back a little bit. I want to talk on the economic empowerment transformation and economic transformation empowerment and the implementation of that. Chairperson, if you, I think you guys are the champion of all these policies of government. But I think the real champion of all this is the departments that are based on the provinces. I'm going more to talk on based on the department that we are working with. That is the Department of Mineral Resources in the Northern Cape. We've been having a lot of challenges as far as that department is concerned. And Chairperson, it's for me not good to say we are women in mining while we really struggle to get our licenses to start to say we are now really mining. And the whole thing is being caused by the very same department that is supposed to be championing to make sure that they empower the targeted groups. Because if you're talking about economic transformation empowerment, first your targeted group is your women, it's your youth, it's people with disabilities. But if these people, the department itself, is not really championing it and is not implementing what it's supposed to be implementing, and it's also very difficult to access the officials within the department, then the question is this one. Should we really review the charter itself? Because the very same department is supposed to be championing and helping us. Because if you are saying you are empowering me, you're supposed to help me by hand. If it comes to a push, you need to mentor. But if that is not happening, Chairperson, then really the meaning of the mining charter, even to try to review it, it becomes very difficult, especially I'm talking about the Northern Cape. You found out that the women, those who were lucky enough, who got the prospecting rights, it's very difficult for that prospecting right from accepting it as Section 17 to be granted, because before it can be granted to you, you need to have a rehabilitation fee. Now, those poor women of the Northern Cape, it's very difficult for them if they don't have partners to have that. Let us say the department will say, we need 500,000 for your rehabilitation fee. To for you to be able, in order to this your grant to be your Section 17 to be granted. Those women that don't have that, and it's not one woman. I'm talking about a lot of women. The last time that we were here, we even said to the chairperson and the committee, we like the chairperson to visit these women so that they must be able to hear it for yourself what's happening. But I would also like to say I'm recommending or asking or requesting that the committee to say. It will also going to be good when we are complaining sometimes when the committee is visiting the province. The department must be there so that when we complain, the department must be able to tell, to respond. So that there should be a two sides of the story, not always we are complaining but there's nobody really who is really saying, giving the other side of the story. Why I'm saying that, most of these women, the ones that now don't have partners to be able to pay the rehabilitation fee, they will go to the department, they will get words like this. Let us say now we've been sitting with this acceptance for such a long time, and the department writes me, let us say, we're going to take back the grant that you were given. Now, the women will come in because you need to renew in order not to,
to lose your prospecting. And the department won't renew that. Based on what, you don't have money to continue with that one. When they try to plead, and then they will tell you that you can even take a bus and go to Pretoria to Sandy, you will never do it. Now, where is empowerment there? Where is economic transformation? Because that department is supposed to be the one who's championing that. Now, let's leave that because I'm talking about other women. Let me talk about my own story. Our company is called Mickey's Mind. We've been having a lot of problems with this company, and it's not only the one that we've been having problems, but I would like to talk more on this one and a practical thing and what happened. I believe in one thing. If you're a BE, a partner, you need also to add value. Because if you look at the policy itself, it's saying there should be economic there should be transfer of skills. Now, back, I need also to do what I can do so that I must be able to learn. I can't learn if I'm a woman in my sitting in my house having a piece of paper of a prospectus. It does not work like that. You need to get involved. You need to be active. So my role in the company, I'll go to the department, put in the document. Where there's an outstanding document, we'll put it in. But what I've seen and what has been happening, particularly in Mickey's Mind, Mickey's Mind was doing a prospecting on surface. After some time, when we're finished with the prospecting on surface, we have to go back to the department because there was nothing on surface. Now we need to go down. So when we go down, we went and meet with the accounting officer. I would say the accounting officer, he's a regional manager, Mr. Swaz. And then we bring all the documentation that we're supposed to be putting into the department. We were referred to Ruzani. And then Ruzani, she's reporting under Mr. Tikelev. So we give Ruzani everything we have to sign. And then after, I think there was a struggle of a year before those documents could be processed. And all that here, we have to go up and down, up and down. You end up like one of the officials in the department. We started to know exactly what's happening in the department. After that whole problem, then it was moved from Ruzani to his immediate supervisor, which it was Mr. Tikelelo. It also takes some months. From Tikelelo, it was taken to Faith. I think now she's working for Kumba, Faith Mazabani. And then on that particular, no faith, my son, on that particular day that I have to meet with Faith, because also we have learned a lot of things that are happening in the department. You can be staying there for sitting there in the club for more than 4 hours, and you see a lot of wrongs that are happening, and you start to learn how to protect your own documentation. So I asked Faith, I said, open our file of Mickey's and write everything and the date that is supposed to be done, things that are supposed to be done on this file in your office. And from your office, also write the official who's supposed to be handling the file. And she did exactly that. And then I asked her, she must introduce the lady who's supposed to handle the file. She brought two people to me, that was Kenneth and Mabogo. She's a lady. But she said the file will start with Mabogo. So we left the file in Faith's office. After 2 months, then we learned that nothing has happened on the file. We went back, and this time I said, it's only going to be good maybe to start with the accounting officer and tell him exactly our challenges. And when we were talking there, he came with, said to me, see Mrs. Nzambo, it's nice of you women coming in here and complain and think that because you are women, we're entitled to get these things. I said, I'm not only here to complain, Mr. Swart. I'm here to advise you how to work with us as women. And not only women, with every up-and-coming small-scale mine. Because I've got an experience what's happening here. I even told him that, you yourself, Mr. Swart, women were having a network. And they told us that you said they must take their piece of this prospecting right and must go to Sandy, and they must take a bus. I said, that's where I'm coming from.
Now Sandy, being the DG, the former DG.
Being the former DG. He did not say to me they are lying. The only thing that he said to me, he said,
There are people who've got agenda who want me out of the department. I said, you know why they will want you out of the department? Because some of these people, they don't know their rights. Now they feel if you can't help them, you must get out of the department. But people who know their rights, they will force you to do what you're supposed to be doing. And then he says, I must now stop complaining. I must really tell you what that I want you to do. I said, number one, we want, when we come into the office, we want a unit that is going to deal with us, empowerment unit.
Let's try and shorten the story.
Yes.
So that we get to exactly what you
to the point. Okay. And all of the because that I've given him, he promised that that will be done. And then he said, I must give him a week to come. I must come back after a week. I come back. That week he was not there, and Faith was busy resigning. And there was a guy who was acting Rama Bongo. I went to him, and I tell him the whole story that we've been waiting for so long for Mickey's mind, but nothing is happening. And then Rama Bongo went and take the file, and then he found exactly what Faith writing. First, he didn't know. He said he was not sure about the file, but I said, if you open the file, you see there's some notes on the file. And he went and take the file, and he read there. He went again, took another file, and then took out an acceptance paper that we've been waiting for. And then I said to him, let's go through the acceptance paper. And then we went through it. But the acceptance is still referring to the surface. And I said, we have applied, the second application was to go down, not to the surface. And then I asked him, what else do we need to bring? He said, everything is okay according to the file. But the only thing, as I'm acting, I can't say to you, go and manage this acceptance right away from Mr. Swap. And then I waited for Mr. Swap. I think after 2 weeks he was back, and then he called me. I come in with the acceptance. What I forget, the acceptance even, it was not addressed to us. That was the first time we see that letter of acceptance in the department. It was addressed, I think it was a white woman's surname, I forget it now. It was addressed to her and it was delivered to her because it shows them from their letter. So that's the first thing that I complained to Mr. Swart. I said, Mr. Swart, we have written a letter. Immediately we took over Mickey's mind. But the address is still using the old address. He denied that there was a letter. We have to call the guy, I think it's Oliphant, from the registry. He bring in the letter and then he said, you correct it and apologize then. And then we go back to the acceptance. That even the acceptance, Mr. Swap, it's been wrong, it's been done wrongly, so somebody was ignoring. Because we have asked now to go down under, but he's still talking about the surface. Then he said, there's nothing wrong with that, we can still continue. And I said, okay, let me phone my partner. If it's like that, it means our problem has been resolved. I called my partner, Mr. Dante Parosi. And he said, no, according to the Mining Policy Act, we can't go down with the very same acceptance. We need to show it that they have given us the right now to go down, not the surface, because we finished on the surface. Based on that, he said, argument, he said, okay, he's not sure, Mr. Swap. He will go and check and then he'll call us back. He never called us back. I went again back, invited myself back to his office, and then Mr. Swap was still waiting. Then this time he was now pushing the whole thing to.
So what is the end of the story? Is it
the end of the story?
Finally, get your
no, Chairperson. The end of the story. What he did, he gave us after he first pushed the whole thing to Mr. Mike Oberholzer, the chief director, said he just caused the whole confusion on the whole thing. And then I called Mr. Over in his office, and I said, Mr. Over, I want you to correct this whole thing. Because for us, what that just say, just take the surface and then let's go underground. Then Mr. Over said to me, you'll call me later. And then that day he called me, and he said, Mr. Swap is the one who's going to do all. Then I said, I'm not really interested. I don't want to hear who's doing what and who's not doing. I want the acceptance that we must go down. I think that was now between June, July. When we received a rejection now. They rejected us, and then when we said the reasons, I called Mr. Swart. I said, we first have an acceptance, now it's a rejection. He said, a lot of documents, we did not comply. I said, no, we did comply. You just have the copies of the complex of the whole thing. And then he said, you come into his office. But by then, we were really, no, I'm wrong. Before we were rejected,
we come to Parliament to complain about that. Then after my complaint, then we get the rejection. I was still here in Cape Town when I was called to say, we're going to get the rejection. And because Mr. Mike was promised me that they will correct it, I called him. I said, I've got a complaint, I've got a call from the department that say I'm going to be rejected. And the official said the reason they're going to reject us is because we always run to politics than going to the department. But the department was not really helping us. And then Mr. Mike promised that he's going to investigate that, the call. And the next day when I arrived in Kimberley, I was called by a guy called Nelson. He said he's in the department of DMR in Pretoria.
We were trying to nest the time here. That's why I keep on asking you, what is the actual problem?
The actual problem is that they have rejected us based on that we've been complaining to the committee about the mixed man. Now, let me come to the point. What we want the committee to do to us, and we've been requesting it for some time, we are saying the committee needs really now to sort this thing between us and the department. And we want to get back our prospecting rights and to mine under because there's nothing on the surface. We have complied according to the act and the policy of the government. We have given everything and we do have a proof of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that's one other case that they would ask the officials to take on board, but we will address that. Is there any other grouping that we have not called? All right, you are the same delegation. Very well. Honourable members, there you are. Any questions, comments on both presentations that were made? Honourable Charlie, Honourable Sonto, Honourable Dylan. Would you care to press your...
How many sewing masks do you have?
Can you list the questions as they come? Done, Honourable Charlie? I'm just asking if that's your question.
Yeah, that's my question.
Okay.
Yeah, I will explain to you why I'm asking.
Okay. Honourable Sondo?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think it's not the first time that we meet with the Western Cape grouping. I am sure that we need a session with them alone, not in the context of us reviewing the mining charter, but in a context of us addressing women in mining. I think it will go back to Sawima, why Sawima, where is Sawima, who's Sawima, and how Sawima, and all Sawima. Because in your introductory opening remarks or something like that, you said Sawima was invited, and we've seen their presentation here, but they declined later. And therefore, when we are dealing with this matter, we need to deal with it in totality. But it does not, Jefferson, stop the department. It's good that officials of the department are here. It does not stop the department interacting with them on this particular issue. We might, when we meet, find them having resolved some of these issues. But I think that Sawima and the department, in fact, as you have said, we need to be appraised about the intended objective of establishing SAWIMA and whether SAWIMA has lived to those objectives, and if not, why not? I think that session would be a session outside of this session. That is my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Bigani.
Thank you, sir. I think similarly, perhaps just going to put my questions differently from the others, but just to say in support of Comrade Fonto, I also think, and I've reiterated this in the past, that we do need a platform. Maybe this time I should not just say women in mining, but we should say historically disadvantaged South Africans presently in mining. We need a platform, Chair, where we are actually going to just look into their issues in depth. I'm saying this out of concern of the fact that several times SAWIMA has been invited to this platform for us to can understand how are they structured, how do they operate, who are they answerable to. And every time, at the last of the moment, I think there's been cancellation. But to get these women anyway emerging out of their own provinces with long-standing problems, because we are talking over a couple of years, where there are these long-standing problems that are not being attended to. But also then, Chair, I'd like to add that it does appear also that there isn't any transparency in the operations of entities related to women in mining. The presenters have, for example, given us an indication of commitment, relationships, names of people who've been involved, or in even amounts of money is involved. Mm-hmm. When do they come and account? And who are they supposed to be accounting to is an issue that you should be treating as a matter of agency. Then the other issue also, the relationship once again between DMR and women, especially as a regulatory obligation towards women in mining, or towards previously disadvantaged groups who are interested in mining. What is it from DMR, and what has DMR done? I'm asking this question particularly because we are aware that there are programs that do run where special invites are made to give attention to issues of women in mining. There are documentaries on SABC and other TVs that have been coming up where you get an individual woman succeeding as a miner. Who has been funding that woman? Who has been assisting? Who has been empowering that woman when the majority are being secluded? Then there are issues around what I read from out of what we've been getting from the documents, that there's still some fronting that is taking place, all because of the desperation of women who want to be supported financially to be able to run their mines. But they still get closed doors when it comes to the fact that they need funding in terms of being operational and at least bring a plate of food to the table. That is also an area where you don't know who's challenging that and who's supporting that. Then the Chair, I think also what Ubabunjali has asked about, how many SAWIMA are there? What is their lifespan of these structures? And the people who are chairing or the committees that are formed, are they only concentrated in one area? Because repeatedly when they come here, it's the same provinces. It's repeatedly the same provinces. It's every time Western Cape, it's every time Northern Cape, it's every time Limpopo. But you don't hear anything about the rest of the nine provinces as to what is their contribution or what is their participation. We know for a fact that in the Free State, for example, there are mines, but you don't hear anything about the Free State having women in mining. And who is there to ensure that this becomes a reality for most women? Then, I think, Chair, also the issue of the skills. It's obvious that they are willing. They want these skills. They want to be assisted. We are talking of skills in the mining charter. Who are these skills meant for? If they are not going to be assisted in any direction, the willingness is there. They need the help. The other thing I'd like to ask, Chair, in relation to DMR again. DMR has been, when they reject, for example, for whatever reason, these prospecting rights, the mining rights, the licensing rights, and whatever other rights, do they ever go to these communities, explain in detail with proof as to why the rejections are given, so that they can be an understanding? Because now we are stuck with the fact that we hear what the women are saying, but we can't really intervene before hearing the other side of the story. And for some reason or the other, it's starting to give me an impression that when they get this rejection, it's just the word you are rejected. But there's no explanation as to the reasons of the rejection. And there's also no way where you get an indication that they go back to these women and try and help them improve their status rather than shut them down. That's all, Chair.
Thank you very much. Would you care to respond to those questions?
How many Sawimas? There is Sawima and Sawimi. Sawimi is a baby of Sawima because Sawimi is the investment wing, of which they said all of Sawima members automatically they are affiliated at Sawimi by 1%. But some of the members, they bought shares from 50,000 downwards. The small number is 500. Rand. But till today, I don't hear anybody say I received the shares or a shareholder certificate. So there are two Sawimas, but Sawimi is a baby of Sawima in terms of the investment.
Okay. Yes. Follow up, yes?
So, Richard, before, just to help Umama from Western Cape, Sawima is one body based in Gauteng, but Sawima is got branches in each province. It means that Western Cape is a region to Sawima National. So is the other regions. But I'm not here on behalf of Sawima and I'm not a member of Sawima. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Jali and then Honorable Kololo. Would you press your
microphone? I mean, it's very really good to start for the department because I'm asking how many Sawima I remember when it came here, some, I think beginning of the year or late last year, some Sawima were being the outside of. They came here once, they're supposed to come back again, I can't remember now, but it's a pretty long time. But they never came back. But the reason for me to ask this question is what I was telling me to check out in here, so I can't remember what I said. I'm quite a doctor in law. I'm not saying that. The daughter-in-law is concerned. She is working on the government department, but not the information department. She phoned me one day. She told you Perry seen me now. She phoned me one day. She says, she was told by colleagues in the department where she works that so you, when you complain about money, you complain with us, but you're in money. What do you mean that you're in money? You have heard that you are a member of Sawima, Sawina, but and you have a And you are in money because of Sawina, which is a very sad bank account. Now she didn't know about this. She said, no, that's new to me. Then I phoned her late. Or she phoned me late. I said, what did you do about it?
go and report to the state police. Let those women be arrested. If there is anything fraudulent, they let them be arrested. Now I said, no. But I will try to find more about this thing. A week or two later, she calls me. She says, indeed, she investigated this tribunal, and she found that her name appears in one of the Sabima's records. What did you do about it? Said, no, I told him, I'm not a party to this, they must remove my name there. But that part or that branch or whatever of Sawima is reported to have given a lot of money. That's why I'm asking now, how many Sawimas do you have? Because all Sawimas come here and complain that they don't have money. They know money, they're not just dead. But the Sawima who came here once, and after that they are avoiding coming here. That has got money. I don't know whether they know now that my daughter-in-law, who exposed the Sawima, has got a father-in-law in that committee. I don't know. But I sometimes suspect that maybe the cat is out of the bag. Because if they come I'm just being the truth, this that day I was no longer impressed about this Sawima. Because we are used somehow to cry with those who are crying, telling us that they don't have money and they've got a lot of money they're getting from you. So I will see you, how many Sawimas we have. They refused to come in last time. They didn't come. Don't say they refused, but they didn't come when we asked them to come. Thanks,
thank you very much, Honorable Khululu.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got a question for both Sawimas. The Sawima from Western Cape and Sawima from where? Northern Cape. Yeah, I'm just interested because I hear there's a lot of money that we are told that they're involved in. What kind of operations are you doing? Are you involved in the mining operations or you're involved in the supply chain or what? I just want to get a sense to what kind of Sawima, because I hear that there's a lot of money there. Thank you very much.
Answer that question if you are able.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just want to make one thing clear. We are women in mining in Northern Cape. We are not Sawima. And our involvement in mining, we're busy with our mining rights, we have applied for that. And that is the challenge that brought me here from Northern Cape. Let me not talk on behalf of Western Cape. Thank you, Chairperson. Diamonds. Thank you.
Okay. I think one of the members has suggested, let's agree that we will have to process this matter of women in mining further using the Sawima and DMR engagement in our next term, so that we dedicate enough time to understand really what's going on. And I hope that the mothers who are here will not be tired when we call them back here again. Because the intention by then would be to devote the whole day
looking at this matter, hearing from the side of government in terms of the department, what role do they play, if there's any role that they are still playing, and because you're mentioning something in terms of the report back from one of your CEOs that SAWIMA must be disbanded, and we would want to understand more around that, because it might well be that if the department has taken that decision, there are certain challenges that they have seen, and as a result, concluding that indeed. But then if you disband SAWIMA, what do you do to ensure that women in mining are participating? There's participation of women in mining, both at the level of ownership as well as at the level of the actual running of the mine. So those are matters that we will deal with at that stage. Let me thank you very much for having been here, and we will then let you know once we have decided on what date would we want the department to concentrate really on what's happening with women in mining, whether you are owning, whether you are employed. We would want to uncover the development there. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think there are short presentations that we can take. Is NYDA here? Yes, yeah, I see. Can you get ready? And that there is another one which also seems to be short as well. It's the Joy Global Africa.
Yeah.
And then Governance Africa's resources. And then we're done. Can we quickly run with those? NYDA, would you want to come and sit here? Closer to us. Are you going to use this machinery? Oh, you can come and set up so long, but you can come and sit here, NYDA, and speak to us. Their presentation, I'm not sure if you've got it with you, so you should. Hey? Okay, please introduce yourselves and talk to us.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Calvin Gassi. Thank you, Chairperson. And my name is Sibuwe Mpoka, the Executive Manager for Policy and Research at NYDA. Okay, no thanks. I will just be very brief, as our submission was also brief. We appreciate the opportunity that was accorded to us to state our case as the custodian of youth development in the country. We also appreciate the process of reviewing the mining charter. We perceive it as a transformation tool that will advance youth development. So we appreciate the process. Hence we have some concerns on the whole process, both for the previous charter and the one that was being reviewed now, that it failed to designate youth in terms of benefiting in the sector itself. And we find it very much appalling as the NYDA. The review report that the department had was unable also to quantify how youth have benefited. They just categorize them as the historically disadvantaged, which we benefit indirectly in all of those. So we feel that if the charter can be able now to quantify or designate youth, so that we are able to see how much the transformation has advanced youth in that particular sector. We'll appreciate that. The demographics, any policy instrument needs also to take into consideration the demographics of the country. Young people are in majority and are a resource in this country. Hence, you find that it's appealing that the transformation instrument leave them outside. We feel it does not really make sense. Apart from that, the department itself has developed a youth development strategy, which also is crying the very same thing that we are talking about, that the mining charter does not designate youth and make sure that they benefit in terms of all the components that you have in ownership, in skills development and the like going down. It does not quantify that. Hence, the principal act of broad-based black economic empowerment really to designate. But when you go down to these charters in most of these sectors, you find that they really don't quantify you, and we feel that very much appealing. So we are making an appeal that let the transformation agenda not really leave young people outside. We really want the country to make sure that they put young people at the center of whatever policy instruments that they employ to transform the economy. I'll also just give the executive manager his word.
Thank you, Che. I think Kelvin has covered everything that we wanted to say with regards to the proposed charter. With regards to disabled people, as he has mentioned, the demographics of the country speak volumes. We should also specify clearly that within the category disabled South Africans, we should specify that disabled young people and propose a target for that group. As a special group within the disabled category. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Designation of young people within the mining charter. Are you talking in terms of ownership? Are you talking in terms of the control of the mines, in terms of the actual running of the mines, skills development, for example? Can you unpack a bit? I'm raising this because young people are perceived, incorrectly so, as people who are after the bling. And I'm saying incorrectly so, because I don't think that it's everybody who just wants to make a quick buck and run away. But please, explain yourself.
Okay, thank you. We are referring to all components. When we talk of we view the mining charter as a policy instrument that transforms the whole sector. So the benefit should come from all components, from ownership, goes down to skills development, all of them, so that young people are designated to fully participate in that sector.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just to demystify, which it is that the Chair specifically referred to, in South Africa, young people or youth is defined as people falling between the category of 14 and 35 years. A 35-year-old is a person who has an MBA and 4 years of experience of working today. That would be your typical 35-year-old. So the issue of having young people throughout the whole transformative or transformation part of the charter, it talks to everything. At the entrance, in terms of skills development for those young graduates that are just coming in, up to ownership and management of these companies. As I said, you would have a CEO who's 35 years old with an MBA from UCT or Stellenbosch today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions, honorable members? Honorable Bigani?
Sure, I think just a short question in terms of the skills. seeing that they are already an established agency, do they have any particular programs in relation to getting the youth skilled, assisting them with getting employment in the line of mining in particular? Or what are the difficulties and challenges you are faced with in trying to augment what you are talking about in terms of empowerment, ownership? And what is the sense of the percentage of mine owners in the youth sector? Because there are those who are already professionals.
Can you respond to that?
Yeah, okay, no, thanks. That's why when we introduce our topic, Welamendi, it's particularly because of the policy instrument that is out there that leaves young people out. That's why all the reports, even the review, is unable to quantify how many young people have benefited. You will be able to designate women that at maybe 6% or whatever, but you will not be able to do that with young people. It's particularly because the charter does not designate young people. That's what we're lamenting, that it needs to start from the policy level itself to say you are designating young people to benefit in this particular sector.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honorable member. The NYDA is funded over 3 years with 1 billion rand, which means around a year we're given a funding of about 380 million rand. The Act of Parliament, which is Act number 54 of 2008, it states it clearly that NYDA, as part of its work, should mainstream and advise and support other line departments to implement policies that are pro-youth. And essentially, not just pro-youth, but pro-country, because our country, the majority is youth. So for future development, we must all prioritize youth. So under our education and skills development program, with the limited resources that we have, we prioritize out-of-school youth, that is those that have fallen out of the education system before standard 10. We're urging that departments such as the Department of Mineral Resources, through the instruments such as the charter that we're discussing here today, should prioritize getting those young people who have degrees and diplomas but don't have skills to enter the mining industry, and assist even those that are outside with very limited skills but experience to get into the industry. And as NYDA, with the limited resources that we have been given and the mandate that is clear that as an agency we should mainstream youth development into other departments' programs, and this is exactly what we're doing here today, to ask the department to rethink the charter and to ask the portfolio committee to assist us to really make that point that our country is young and we'll only be able to make full advantage of the demographic dividend presented to us, the youth bulge, if we all work together and recognize that the country is young and it will be young till 2037. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a very interesting topic. Because when you go to the mining houses, they say they haven't got the candidates to do the job. And we've said to them, go to the universities, go and recruit. Now today we hear they are out of people. So we must find a way of getting together there and say, well, there are people who want to be trained. Why don't you employ them? And call the bluff if there is a bluff. And then at the same time we see from the university side, are they producing these candidates?
Thank you very much, Honorable Tari. Operator in the corner.
I'm not sure that. Maybe not take the credit for his setting. Even if he's not done after his setting. How do you differ from Umsawu?
Tell you just briefly, because you are the combination of Musobo with others.
The National Youth Development Agency was formed through the repeal of the act that established Musobo for Youth Fund, as well as the National Youth Commission. Musobo for Youth Fund was mainly dealing with enterprise development arm of youth development, majorly, with very limited focus on education and skills development and other programs that should form part of a youth development program. And also, in terms of resources, when the two organizations were merged, the capitalization of Umsobomvu, as many of the committee members would know, was way much too bigger than the capitalization of NYDA when it was started. So in terms of programs that limited NYDA, so some of the Umsobomvu Youth Fund programs were then curtailed. But what I want to emphasize to the House today is that we have also reformed some of the Umsobomvu Youth Fund programs. As many of you would know, that Umsobomvu Youth Fund, because it was focusing on enterprise development and not really broad-based youth economic empowerment, NYDA has changed that program slightly and now focuses on funding cooperatives and small businesses for young people so that you can maximize impact, rather than just funding one coffee shop which will employ 10 young people, 4 or 5 million. So that's really how the NYDA operates in comparison to Umsobomvu Youth Fund. You'd have 50 million rand benefiting 2 enterprises. In the current state, we prioritize that with 50,000 rand, we'll fund 5 cooperatives. We would do car wash, we'll do hair salons, we'll do other cooperatives that will benefit more young people than just 3 young people to become rich instantly. Thank you very much.
I've heard a lot of young people complaining about that in Seoul. And when I talk about the new organization, they'll say, oh, these are different because we are sure thousands of people have marked time by in our FPC party. So I worked them alone for a long time here in Parliament. So I want to know that the situation is kind of people well. I hope the complaints that we hear about also are not going to be able to.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bigani.
Chairperson, with the understanding that you are here about the mining charter, for some reason or the other, I'm starting to get thinking that as a committee at a different time, we might have to look at an approach where we repeatedly, for example, bring up the name of historically disadvantaged South Africans. That we might need to trying to say change our focus, but maybe better focus on the issue of women, youth, and children differently in terms of approach, specifically on the issue of mining. We might be hitting ourselves somewhere somehow, in the sense that we tend to group, we've been grouping them now, the women one side, the youth one side, and the one forgets the other one at some stage, but the needs are equal. We also need to perhaps look at broader platforms like we did the last time, where we saw a need of various stakeholders coming together. And I think we made an example of DMR at the time, it was entities like SAMDA that came to present and so on, where we actually formulate something around the very department for women, youth and children with disabilities, focusing on issues of mining and skills development in the mining sector. Now, you hear a lot of, there's a lot of funding, there's a lot of monies, there's big amounts that are being implicated from the women this side, from the youth this side. But for some reason or the other, the focus or the direction of this funding doesn't seem to be bearing fruit for us to can see there's visible development for the women with the monies that are floating around, or with the youth with the monies that are floating around, in terms of ensuring that we've got skilled and benefiting, in this case, particularly Black South Africans who were previously disadvantaged. We might as well, as a committee, when we make our own reports and future contributions to documents for policy development, we'll perhaps need to focus on the fact that we once mentioned that there's a difficulty where you find that in higher education institutions, skills development, training, accreditation issues, and so on in human resource development and training are not there, and they're not directed particularly to mining. And as a result, we continue complaining of the shortage of skills that is there, which is also not assisting much in us being able to focus or channel relevant funds correctly for us to be able to see that out of those monies that come out of government, we are able to see fruits being bred in terms of products of quality people, quality women, quality youth, particularly in the mining sector. I just thought that we should make mention of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think let's thank you very much, NYTA. And indeed, the recommendations particularly that you have made in your submission, we will take them into account when we draw this process into conclusion. And indeed, we're taking into account all shortcomings, precisely as you have done yourselves, that we're picking up from the mining charter. So one angle is the one of the exclusion of youth as a group from the provisions of the charter. So we'll take those into account and indeed arrive at a particular decision. So thank you very much for setting time aside and coming to talk to us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jim.
Would you summarize the document, Joy Global Africa? Introduce yourself and give us a summary.
Yeah. Good afternoon, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to come and present here in front of you. My name is Matimba Mahange. I work for a multinational company called Joy Global as a director of manufacturing. I'm here, thanks, Mr. Chairman and honorable members, for giving me an opportunity to express my views and the views of the South African management team. You may not have heard of Joy Global Africa, but through the short presentation and the brochures that I've given you, I hope you'll have an understanding of what we
company that is involved in high-tech mining, high-tech mining of manufacturing of mining equipment. And South Africa represents about 8 to 10% of the global consumption. We are one of the number of players in capital equipment market. And what we are involved in, basically, if you look at that, at the picture that I've shown up there, is that we involved in the soft rock mining market, and our machinery that we produce here in South Africa is involved in from the extraction phase of the coal to the sizing and crushing to transportation to supporting machinery and then to the services side. In terms of the mining charter, Mr. Chairman, my submission or our submission is as follows. Charter, according to our view, is that it does not recognize DTI codes of good practice and BBB scorecards for capital equipment and technology companies, creating non-uniformity and confusion. Foreign listed multinationals are effectively penalized for investing in local manufacturing. And I'll illustrate that as I go on. The cost of compliance to BEE and BBBE is lower for importers and dealerships who generate profit overseas, thereby encouraging foreign companies to reduce or avoid local procurement. The codes and charter do not recognize the value of foreign manufacturing and technology investment. The charter provides inadequate structure and process for recognition of local value creation, creating uncertainty. In my view, and in our view, is that South Africa is not attracting investment in technology and manufacturing. What I've drawn up there is just a simple illustration as in a comparison of economic value add between two foreign companies of equal size. If you look on the left side, you'll be looking at a foreign company based in South Africa, manufacturing here in South Africa, and a similar company based overseas, not in South Africa, but then supplying the South African market. And if you look at the value add, the one that manufactures here in South Africa versus the one that imports into the South African market, the value add in the economy in South Africa and the community is far much higher for the manufacturer, for the one who manufactures in here. Joyce Global Africa has got facilities in Waitville. That's a picture of one of the facilities that I manage in Waitville. Employing about 1,500 employees, and local procurement is about 70% and 40% of preferential procurement. And then through the multiplying effect in economics, thousands of indirect jobs are created through local procurement. The point that I'm trying to put across here, Mr. Chairman, is that if you are a foreign company, and you manufacture, say, in China or in Australia and you import the stuff into South Africa, and you've got another company that is a competitor that has set up here in South Africa, has got a factory and is employing people here in South Africa. The one that is a foreign one that has got a facility outside, it's basically running the business here in South Africa through some form of dealership. But then the one that is in South Africa has got a higher compliance a requirement due to being based here in South Africa. And the one that is coming here in the form of a dealership actually has lower requirements in terms of compliance. So in essence, the way it's structured is that, in my view, is that it doesn't give incentive for anybody to actually set up a manufacturing facility in South Africa. I think a new entity coming into South Africa, the way we structured it, it would be best for them to actually set up rather a dealership in South Africa. So the way it's structured, according to me, I'm sharing with you my experience, as in I've had more than 10 years experience in manufacturing. The way it's set up at the moment, it just doesn't
allow for. It doesn't level the playing field. So in essence, if you look at our business as in Joy Global Africa, this by no means, I'm just using Joy Global Africa as an example, and this presentation is a representation of what in my view and what in the management of Joy Global views as in what is happening in the manufacturing sector. What we do is that we, it's a global company that is listed in the New York Stock Exchange, and the centers of excellence, as in there's different equipment that is built across the globe. And in South Africa, our factories, we've got two factories that concentrate on what we call shuttle cars and what we call continuous miners that mine coal underground. And we supply to big companies like Sasol, like Anglo, like Exxaro. And we also have a smart services center in Witbank, Emalahleni, that our deputy minister of in the DMR, I think it's Godfrey Oliphant, has actually visited us this year to see our facility. And we also have an R&D project together with our customers where we cut between the partnership between the customers and the organization here in South Africa. We investing about 100 million in R&D to get into now hard rock, which is platinum mining, as in continuous mining. But then the way I look at it, as in my experience, is that I see the center of gravity for manufacturing shifting towards China. And that is the reality, as in what I'm seeing. And there's no incentive, as in for, it's as if you've got a facility in South Africa, you get penalized for it. You get not rewarded for being in operating in South Africa. So Joy Global Africa is a worldwide technology leader for mining equipment. Joy Global Africa is a level 5 value add triple B contributor and certified best employer with over 1,500 employees. Joy maximizes customer value through a direct service model without dealerships or third-party distributors. What I'm saying is that in our market particularly, what happens is that you've got companies that are competing with us that are manufacturing this stuff, whether in Germany or in Australia or other countries, and then they import this stuff into South Africa, and then they set up dealerships to distribute this stuff. And if you drive along the freeway or anywhere, you'll see most of these companies, as in those are the ones that are represented. So I'm saying to you, the way it's structured, why, I wouldn't say that you should say stop buying those that are, they don't have manufacturing here in South Africa. I would say incentivize the ones that are, have got the guts and the will to actually set up facilities and create jobs and value add here in our country. Joy is the only foreign listed multinational mining equipment company that designs. So we design, we've got about 80 engineers in South Africa in our company. Out of the 1,500 people for the whole organization, 900 people report to me. We manufacture, we procure the stuff, we fabricate this thing from scratch. And we do export a portion of what we do here in South Africa to the rest of the world. For instance, 66% of our shuttle car program, which represents about 300 million of our total revenue, we export this stuff to China. We're exporting now to, we've been exporting to Australia, to Eurasia. But as I said earlier on, that, you know, center of gravity moving towards China, I'm not sure whether, if I were to come here in the next 5 years, I would be saying the same thing in terms of the percentage of exports. So Joy is committed to the development of black-owned business in its value chain. If you look at the pie chart here, it just illustrates the global company and how, and the portion that is the South African one. So South Africa contributes about between 7 and 80% of the global company in terms of sales, and manufacturing output. On the right side is just a picture that illustrates one of the facilities that are managed here in South Africa. So recommendations, this is almost the last slide. I'm saying that, in my view,
a preference should be given for South African manufactured products that meet the requirement. So proudly South African, that's what I believe in. Foreign listed multinationals should receive recognition for South African procurement and local content. So if you are a dealership and there's no local procurement, no local content, I don't see how you could actually have an advantage over somebody who's over an entity that has got that procures here, manufactures here in our soil. And then align the mining charter with preferential procurement policy framework and DTI broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Code. In my naiveness, I'm an engineer by profession, not really versed in this. I would suggest in my naivety that perhaps introduce the 8th criteria on BBB scorecard for local content. That would level the playing field, as in if somebody comes in here and sets up a facility or starts up a business in South Africa and goes for the equity part, which is the 26% part, it's good for the person. And I believe that all organizations should be doing that and empowering people. But then those that set up facilities in South Africa and set up their roots here and procure here in South Africa and generate more jobs along the value chain, I think they should also be recognized and rewarded for that. And I think that would drive the economy in the manufacturing sector. This is the last slide, questions and comments. I've included my details there, Matimbo Mahange, Director of Manufacturing Joy Global Africa, and I've got my email address there and my telephone number. That's the size of the equipment that we do. We manufacture here in South Africa in Waitville. That piece of machinery is about 100 tons when it's complete. We buy steel from Max Steel VRN and we fabricate it from scratch. We've got artisans who are highly qualified that wire the panels that drive and control this equipment. When we showed the Deputy Minister Godfrey Oliphant what we do here in South Africa, his comment was that, are you sure you're really, really here in South Africa? The company has been here for 75 years, and I would say more than 60% of all the electricity that you were using here in South Africa is probably generated by our machines. Because we set up here and we've got manufacturing capability in South Africa, that allows a person like me, say, in manufacturing to say, in the past 3 years, I've had consistently about 70 apprentices in a program that I manage, and when they qualify, we employ them in the organization, and some of them are snapped up by other companies in the industry. So the fact that we manufacture here in South Africa, the fact that we have a base here in South Africa, it also allows us to contribute in terms of skills development, that we have the facilities where we can train these people. So if you're welcome to actually out. I would welcome you to actually maybe set up an appointment and come and see our facilities, or call me at some stage to come and tell you more and engage you more on what we do as Joy Global Africa. But in summary, this is not by no means an advertisement of Joy Global Africa. This is my view as a manufacturing person to say, with all the experiences in more than 10 years experience, to say, the picture that I'm seeing is that we're not encouraging local manufacturing. We're not encouraging these companies to come and set up base in South Africa.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
There you are, honorable members, and I'm worried time is seriously against us. But let's allow you a few questions. Honorable Lucas.
Well, I must say congratulations. And this is the kind of thing that we are really looking at when young people get to put in the difficulty. I say you've been set up for 75 years.
Yeah, the company.
No, I'm talking about you.
No. I'm so much younger than that.
Okay. But in any case, the biggest problem we find is that the competition. Now, the same machine gets manufactured in China, and you get it at a different price. It, despite the fact that they're importing the steel from South Africa. So this is the thing that we should need to sit down, that what is manufactured here, we get at a good price. But we seem to be, every time we compare our prices with external issues with them, and then we price it. We, for gold, jewelry, we pay more than anyone else. And other countries, when they've got the raw material, that's where they get it. Middle East, fuel is cheaper because it's there. But here, all the, we've got everything, God given. But we still take our people to the dealers. So if you can look at that, you'll get 100%. I say congratulations. Job well done.
Thanks, Sam. In terms of pricing, I know I'm not a salesperson, I'm not trying to sell the machine to you. I would appreciate it if you could buy one. In terms of pricing, we're competitive and we price well as in compared to the ones that have got dealerships. And our product, we're proud of it. It's been in existence for more than 70 years. Yeah, it works. It's in terms of market share, it's way above. It's around 60% or so in South Africa because the machine, when it gets down there, it works. And it's durable.
Okay. Do you have a question?
You might be a very rich young man.
I wish so. I hope I'm going to get there pretty soon.
Then you must make me out of your very company. It's a very impressive company and presentation that we got. I'm just worried about the investment is also good for the country. But I would rather say, why not rather think of ways, be innovative. We are young South Africans in a new democracy. We need to grow in terms of the very manufacturing, but even production within the country needs to improve, because out of that there's such a lot more benefits out of our outcries of job creation, of improved skills, rather than say you'd rather still export more. Wouldn't be a better outlook for you to say, let's have a way of creating more jobs, because we are a very established company. We can see that we are well established, but rather expand within the very Republic of South Africa to ensure that the jobs remain here. And to ensure that the jobs remain here, have more production here and send out, so that we can also sell at a better price. We're not disputing the fact that investment from outside is good. But what we are saying is, rather than admire China and say China can continue to be powerful as they are in manufacturing, why can't we do the same? Anything is possible here in South Africa. And all I'm saying is that the percentage of people who are jobless would increase drastically, and it would actually be a big economic contribution for the development of our own people. It will definitely cut our problems by more than half. I'm looking at the statement where you are saying foreign listed multinationals are effectively penalized for investing in local manufacturing. Should it not rather be an instance where you say, let's develop a policy, improve our present policies in terms of what sanctions or what penalties do we then give to these companies that are from outside towards contributing in improved economic development of our own country? If you look at the issue of, for example, if it takes us to the issue of, Chair, on what you were talking about, manufacturers moving to China, one of our challenges is the issue of the very outside countries coming to take our own minerals here and taking them out raw as they are, and those countries benefit and we don't. What are you saying about the local communities then that are not benefiting much out of that? Why not rather convert that, such that you make your commitment bigger towards beneficiation and royalties that need to be left to the local communities, rather than being concerned about the fact that you are gaining more from outside? We can turn things around. We still young. It's infrastructure that needs to grow. why not expand within the country? We have a lot of problems, for example, in relation to smelting after these minerals have been extracted from the ground. Why not have these machines work for our own people and we gain out of it to send outside? Just a touch.
Okay. Very brief.
Yeah. At the moment, as I said, ma'am, because is that I said that in terms of our program here in South Africa, like I said, we in terms of beneficiation, we buy raw material as in steel from here in South Africa, from VRN or Max Steel. We use the people here in South Africa, highly skilled people, artisans, that we also have programs that where we train them. So from scratch, we build the thing and complete it. But South Africa, because it's a global company that we are dealing with, we've been chosen as the center of excellence for 50-head shuttle cars. So for South Africa, we are the ones here who manufacture this thing here in South Africa and export it to China, export it to Australia, and export it to the UK. What I'm saying is that if when I look at, say, the organization, like I said, I'm expressing my views and not the views of Joy Global as in the US. But when I look at it, I think one day, what would stop them from saying, you know what, I'd rather continue, instead of building this shuttle cars here in South Africa and saying that you must export them to China, why can't we just expand in China and make sure that they build the shuttle cars and we cut down on this, on the shipping and all that. We build them for Eurasia. Why do we still have to build them in South Africa? And why can't UK build it themselves? And that would represent, say, in my organization, if I say 66% of the shuttle car business is export market. If that goes down, then it's jobs that are involved. A good thing is that good news is that for this coming financial year, in terms of export shuttle cars, the orders have improved and by about 50%. So instead of doing 42 shuttle cars per annum, now in terms of export ones is jumping up to about 60 per annum. The local market in terms of shuttle cars can only absorb about 20 shuttle cars. So it's not enough for the business as in the local market. That's why hence we have to push this export business. Thank you.
All right, members, I think you ran out of time, sir. We need to close now. And thank you very much, Joint Global Africa. And indeed, we will also take on board the recommendations that you have made. And when we draw our conclusion.
Can I just say one thing, Mr. Chairman? One thing.
You
it's only two seconds. Yeah, I know.
She
was saying something to the effect that why not penalize, say, the dealerships? It's a question of a carrot or stick. Is it you want to incentivize the people who are already setting up the base here in South Africa, or you want to penalize the ones that have got dealerships? So it's up to, I think, us here in South Africa and the committee to decide on that.
Okay, thank you very much. Let us apologize. Is Mitane here? What is this? Mitane Mining. If they are here, and Governance of Africa's Resources Program, we would want to sincerely apologize to you. We've run out of time. What we will do now, we'll go through your presentation.